Welcome to Creative Revival, where we talk about all things creativity, marketing, branding, and design. And today I have a very, very special guest by Dave Frio. And he is one of the founding members along with Tim Ebner and partner with Lawson Wright here at My Parents' Basement. Thank you for joining the show, Dave.
Yeah, no problem. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, there's been a lot going on over the past couple of years. It seems that you and Tim actually had kind of formulated this idea, and Tim had a dream about it.
Yeah, that's true. Me and Tim worked together at the time, and we had just both started getting back into comic books at the same time, so we started taking Wednesdays off together and going to buy comic books. And he came in one morning and said, "I had the coolest dream last night." And we had this bar that was also a comic book store, and it was called My Parents' Basement. So the name and everything came from Tim's dream. And very shortly after that, one of his friends from high school, his brother's comic book store had gone under years back, and all these comics, and this is a total coincidence, had been in their parents' basement for years. And so they said, "If you come get these comics, you can have them." So we rented a U-Haul truck and went and picked up 110 long boxes from their house, and that's how everything started.
110 long boxes, that's like 20,000.
It's a lot of comic books.
It's a lot of comic books.
Yeah, we've moved them a lot. So from there, we start, also Lawson's wife, we worked with her, and so she was saying, "Oh, Lawson's always wanted to open a comic book store." So we talked a lot to Lawson. We all got these comics. We started doing pop-up events at bookstores, breweries, anywhere we could possibly do a pop-up event, yard sales in Lawson's driveway, to just build our brand and build up some capital to get to where we're at right now, which is a brick and mortar, and it's a full restaurant, full bar, full comic book store.
That's amazing. Yeah, usually comic book stores have a very, very tough time.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few of them, and I only recognize them actually when they're actually going like out of business.
Yeah.
So, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But it does happen.
Yeah.
So how did you guys actually come up with the idea to create something sustainable, knowing that it's a very, very tough business, especially with the nerd culture and
Right now it feels like a really cool time in comic books because of all the movies that are happening and all this stuff that's so accessible to people that aren't even reading comic books. For us, we've always all been restaurant people. So to bring these two worlds together just made so much sense for us. And that's honestly the sustainable part for us, is we sell a lot of food, a lot of beer, and a lot of comics as a result.
So you've been a chef in the kitchen for more than 20 years.
Yeah, 25 years.
25 years. When did you get started as a chef?
I started as a dishwasher when I was 15. And like I'm sure a lot of people, a cook quit and they said, "Hey, you're not a dishwasher anymore, you're on the line." And that's what I've been doing ever since.
So was it like basically it's like learning like on?
Oh yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Like it, being in the trenches and then learning the process.
Well, and also, they didn't tell me this at the time, but I was also still the dishwasher. So I was working the line, I was doing dishes, I was kind of doing everything at that point. And that's a pretty good way to learn, I feel like, just getting thrown into the fire.
Absolutely, man. Like, I worked, actually, I was, like, in the Navy.
Oh, yeah?
As a culinary specialist.
Oh, wow.
And I did that for 4 years. And, yeah, there's some training that was done, but still a lot of it was, like, just being in the kitchen.
Yeah,
like,
make this happen. Yep, no matter what you need to do, make this happen.
That's, like, it's super fantastic. So you guys have got 32 beer draft lines.
Yeah.
How do you go about usually selecting the beers that you guys have?
Tim is the beer guy. He was the beer buyer for, I'm not sure if you know, the Brick Store and Leon's Full Service and Indicator. He was the beer buyer for both of those places for several years. So he's our beer expert. And we do dedicate one line to cold brew coffee and then two to local craft sodas as well.
And how do you feel about the overall approach with the craft sodas?
It's really, really good. We keep on at all times the Red Hair root beer, and it's fantastic. And Monday Night makes a great ginger beer that we have on most of the time. Sometimes we swap it out with other things, but yeah, really, really solid stuff happening in the local area.
Yeah, it's great. Like, you, even with just culture growing and how everything's becoming like infused.
Yeah.
And it's becoming easier for people to adapt to and understand, I guess, comic book culture is more simple because of like movies and video games, specifically movies.
Yeah.
But it's, things have grown up a lot. Did you grow up like reading comic books?
Yeah.
Was there, are you a DC or Marvel person? Or
I float back and forth. Right now, I'm a lot of the stuff that I read is DC or Image or Dark Horse.
Okay.
DC is doing great things with their comics right now.
Mm.
Marvel seems to be doing the movies really, really well, and that's great because that brings people over into that store because they see this on the big screen and they want to know what the source material is, or they want to know more about those characters. And now we sell a lot of the collected stuff, so the trade paperbacks, they call them, because people want to, it's a binge read, a binge watch, binge read society right now in our culture, so people want to read like 6, 7, 8 issues at a time. So to get those collected editions of stuff is really what people want right now.
Yeah, it's like, it's interesting how just things have shifted. It's like you mentioned with binge watching.
Yeah.
And it's easier now because we can actually put things on hold. We can wait and they collect everything and know that it'll be there and have immediate access to that. Even when I was growing up, I did read comic books, but it was mainly, I was fascinated with the Marvel masterpieces.
Oh yeah.
I think because of the level of detail, the realism
that
was in it, that I was drawn to. But I also read novels. So
it's
kind of, it was very interesting.
That was all my mom could get me to read was comic books when I was a kid.
Wow.
And I didn't even really live close to a comic book store. I just got whatever was on the spinner rack at 7-Eleven, which a lot of times was Spider-Man comics. So I've always been a big Spider-Man guy.
So your parents said your mom specifically pushed you to read comic books.
She said, I can't get him to read anything except comic books. And the teacher said, that's fine. As long as he's reading, just let him read that. So they just threw me into the comic book world, and I embraced it.
And like, and that's what I love about when you're around people, or especially when you're raised by parents who help you, who understand your reality, and then they adapt to that rather than forcing you to adapt to theirs.
Yeah, everybody learns differently, and it's cool to see people adapt to that.
Is that the same approach that you plan on moving forward, I guess, with your family?
We do a lot of reading. I have a almost 2-year-old, and she is so obsessed with the characters already. She calls Wonder Woman. She just says, "Woman." So funny. Yeah, she's actually been kind of gravitating towards the more DC stuff, I guess. But she's already in it.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's super awesome. Woman.
Yeah.
So, like, where are you from originally?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So were you born and raised in New Jersey, and then you came down here?
Yeah, I was in New Jersey for 18 years, and then I just ended up, I had never even been here when I moved here. I just followed a friend, and I've been here ever since. I've been here 19 years now.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Practically a native.
Yeah. I've been here now longer than I was in New Jersey.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there like a restaurant that you would go to back home that's like nostalgic for you? Or do you ever go back to visit? Or
I do go back sometimes, but I think I was just out of there before I really got to see a lot of that kind of stuff. That wasn't like a chain restaurant that we went to.
Right.
The first restaurant I worked at was called the Countryside Inn, and it was like the only restaurant in my town.
And how many people were in your town?
I grew up in Indian Mills, New Jersey, which nobody's ever heard of. It was pretty small, but we're close to bigger cities. But yeah, I grew up in the woods.
Yeah, it's a lot of things have been changing. Like, I've been to a small town before, And that was in Somerset, Kentucky, and I was there for about a year, and that place had like 2,000 people. I was like, my high school had this many, well, my middle school actually had.
My high school was pretty large, but we drew from a lot of the area. My graduating class was 600 some kids, so I had a big high school.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, your high school was big, venturing out into the main world. So when you guys started the restaurant, what's something that you guys knew then starting out?
I don't know that there is anything that we would have been, you know, we've learned as we've gone, so that knowledge, we would, maybe weren't ready for it then. We had to, you kind of have to go through the process to fully get that knowledge in your head, if that makes sense.
So if there was another, if there's someone who's listening who actually wants to start, who wants to model, you know, this, they hear the podcast or they go online or they even stop by and they're like, I like this, I want to take this concept and I want to branch it out, you know, in, you know, Madison, you know, New Jersey, Wisconsin or whatever. What advice would you give them?
I think for us, the thing that helped us to grow is learning our customers. You know, we set out with an idea of what we wanted, but then we had to adapt to who our customers were and what they wanted. So we've really grown. Our customers have helped us grow because, you know, we're here for them in the long run. So we do a lot of vegetarian stuff now because that's what we saw the market for. And so I would just say, read your crowd, know what they want, and talk to them, figure out, and that's the best way to grow.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Like, even looking at your menu, like, you could have went, yeah, you guys could have went like the total like nerd route, went down that rabbit hole of like naming your foods, like, you know, the Iron Man burger.
We did toy with some of that stuff, you can turn a Manhattan into anything, Iron Manhattan, Spider Manhattan.
Right.
But we, in the long run, we didn't really want to be too kitschy. We just wanted to have a nice place that didn't really. We want people to come in, even if they're not into comic books, and feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So we wanted a place for everybody that is also geared towards comic books and beer culture and food culture, and so there's a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah, so in that way you're kind of like, you're segmenting it and keeping everything in its right lane, but it's all headed in the same direction.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really just about the journey.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, no, you gotta go through that process.
That's great. So what's something that you're passionate about now? Earlier in your growing up, it was comic books. I could guesstimate and say it would be your daughter and your family.
Yeah, I definitely spend as much time with my daughter as I can. I'm really into music, so I listen to a lot of music with my daughter and read a lot of books. So, you know, books and music, that's kind of what my life is right now.
What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to all kinds. I play a washed-up bass. So I've listened to a lot of like folky and bluegrassy and just more rootsy rock, stuff like that.
Who are some of your greatest influencers when it comes to, like, I guess, the rifty sounds? And like, I like that.
My favorite band is Phish. I know that's kind of a polarizing band for a lot of people, but I've been listening to them since I was in high school. I've seen them almost 50 times, and they just... Like I was just saying, how we continue to grow by, you know, our crowd. They seem to do that too. So I guess maybe I took a little bit of that from them.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
it's great too that you can take something that is unrelated, seemingly unrelated to your industry, and find a way to infuse that.
Yeah.
And always just glean, and there's just so many sources that we can pull from now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just things become kind of, they just cross-pollinate.
Yeah.
You know, and then they create something new and exciting.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's super huge kudos. And it's kind of mandatory now to do that because the whole world's exposed now.
There's so much out there, too. You know, you really have to be special to continue to be successful, because otherwise you're going to get stagnant and people are going to get bored with what you're doing.
Constantly like testing things out and evolving and trying and failing forward.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
It's easy to win and then celebrate. But when we lose, we have a tendency to ponder much more.
Yeah.
To really look at, okay, what did I do? How can I course correct?
Yeah.
And then when you do that effectively, it becomes a win-win scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a constant course correction. We continue to evolve into who knows what we're going to become. But I think this thing is on its own path now. We're just trying to steer the ship in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So what is something, speaking of like failing forward, what's something that you've failed at?
Oh, that's a good question. Something I've failed at. I mean, I've been a cook for my whole life, so I try to...
Like messing up a dish and having to fix it? Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Got to be a doctor. Yeah, you know, there's and sometimes people don't read the menu all the way, and they didn't see that this was in this, and you have to, when you're super super busy, and you have to remake a dish. There's a lot of adapting that goes into being a cook, and that's something you gotta fail to learn how to adapt. So that's something that's taught me a lot.
So if there was something that you specialized in as a cook, what would that be? Like, are you still cooking now?
Yeah.
Or,
okay. Mm-hmm. I probably do 3 to 5 kitchen shifts a week still. My specialty is procedure and cleanliness and doing, you know, thoughtful cooking. I like to make sure my grill is clean so that vegetarians aren't getting remnants of bacon grease or anything like that, and so that's what my specialty is.
Just making sure everything's clean.
Yeah, making sure that everybody's food tastes like what they're ordering and not like everything else that's been cooked all day.
So how do you guys end up coming up with the actual the actual dishes? You work with your wives?
It's a really collaborative thing, and you know, when people we sit down a lot to. We like to touch base with each other a lot, and if somebody's got an idea, we talk about it, and that's how things come about. You know, whether it be us or our wives or our staff, our customers, we like to
just collaborate, integrate, test.
Yeah.
Remove what doesn't work. And
oh yeah, there's nobody knows everything, and so to listen to everybody is the only way to really truly find a good path forward.
And you guys have a huge kitchen.
Oh yeah, it's gigantic.
It's almost a lab.
It's the biggest kitchen I've ever worked in.
How many square feet?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's the whole length of the building back there. It's insane. I'm used to working in these little tiny like boxes, and so that's insane to me to be in that big of a kitchen. And I've never actually been that close to the cooler either, to the walk-in cooler, because I usually have to like run down a hallway. I've worked at places where I had to run outside, even if it's pouring rain, to go to the walk-in to grab something.
What restaurants would have that on the outside?
It's something that, you know, sometimes people don't think things through all the way. Or when people are designing things, they're not kitchen people, so they just don't think about that kind of stuff.
I'm not going to stand around there for, like, if you're making like a salad, you could, the vegetables can handle that, but when you're dealing with stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you need to stock up your station and you need to run outside in the pouring rain to go get something to stock up your station, that's tough. I've been there.
So, in the advent of things shifting and changing, so, you guys, I guess it started a while back. What do you guys think about, like, I guess moving forward? Like, was there a specific vision that you guys are moving toward, and you're just slowly processing toward that?
Yeah, I would say we really had a vision of a lot of, like, an event-based place. whether it be comic book signings or beer events, collaborations with breweries, that kind of stuff. And we have been doing that all along, but we definitely want to do that kind of stuff more. Just, you know, whether, you know, having we got really lucky being in Atlanta. We didn't realize how many comic industry people lived in Atlanta. So we've been, one day the two guys that wrote The Flash were in here writing an issue of The Flash, and that was insanely cool for us. So just to collaborate with industry people, whether it be beer or comics, is I think our path forward to produce a lot of events to get people excited about our place. We do a drink and draw once a month. We do nerd trivia every Tuesday. That kind of stuff is what people get excited about being here for.
And you guys have a Super Smash Brothers?
Yeah, we got a Smash Brothers tournament coming up on Super Bowl Sunday. That kind of stuff.
That's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Just all kinds of stuff going on in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So it's the best weekend to do it. So yeah. If you guys aren't doing anything for Super Bowl Sunday, come on down here to my parents' basement. Get your smash on.
Yeah.
So, your favorite type of beer?
I've been really into lagers lately. It kind of fluctuates. I think a lot of it depends on the time of year. But I've been really into lagers and porters lately. Cherry Street is a local brewery that makes the most amazing coconut porter. If it's on, I'm having at least two or three of them.
Did you say coconut porter?
Yeah, amazing.
I have to see about that. I'm not a big fan of coconut.
It's very subtle. It's not overpowering. It's a beautiful beer.
A beautiful beer. Have you tried Dogfish Head?
Yeah, I've had some Dogfish Head stuff.
Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I had that, it hit me hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because some of them are heavy. The 90-minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like Dogfish Head.
I think the 120 is illegal in Georgia.
Really?
I haven't seen anybody serving it.
I feel like I used to see it. It's been a while since I've seen it. Yeah.
So let's talk about our environment, because this is probably one of the most unique setups that I've ever seen. I mean, aside from a few other more niche bars and restaurants in Atlanta. I'm not going to name them, but it seems to have that personal touch and feel. So it's the walls and the ceilings and the vents are completely filled with action figures. There's posters everywhere. Did you guys, are these all of your personal stuff or?
Some of it, sometimes people just donate us stuff because they have cool stuff that they want to be seen. So they just bring it, there's a whole Yellow Submarine Beatles figures up there on the ledge that somebody just brought us. So some of it we brought, some of it is from other people. And it's ever growing. The amount of nerdery that happens in here.
Yeah, there's action figures, there's, I mean, posters, illustrations, the walls are covered, and the colors of that really dark oak color is a great, great tonal choice.
Yeah, well, it was just how we got the building. We got lucky there. We did. You see the panels, the insides of the panels are painted. We did that so we could make the art pop a little bit more and kind of brighten it up a little bit. But we got really lucky with this building. It's a beautiful building.
And you guys got a couple of free standing arcades.
Oh, yeah.
And people come and kids can come and play video games.
Yeah, and the arcade machines are free. We also have a bunch of pinball machines. The pinball machines cost money, but we've got 10 machines now.
You guys host tournaments too for those, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Monthly.
Monthly mm-hmm. Pinball machine tournaments.
Yeah, we do pinball tournaments, and then we also have a Bells and Chimes League, which is a female pinball league.
So, if I wanted to join, or if someone wanted to join a league, how would they go about doing that?
You just show up.
Just show up.
Yeah.
Put your name in the hat.
Show up, sign up, and give it your best shot. I think they give you a certain you know, there's a certain bar that's set by whoever's here. So it's, you know, it changes every time we do it because we have different players every time.
That's great. So how many people would you guess come to actually, like, compete?
We had some big tournaments. I mean, we've had tournaments probably with 20 people in them, which is a lot for this space because that's not the only thing that's happening usually right. On those days.
Mm-hmm. Great. So if there was one thing that you could tell your younger self, what piece of advice would you give your younger self?
I think my younger self might give me a pretty serious high five. I mean, I get to read comics and play video games and play with toys all day. I think that's a pretty hardcore success for my 12-year-old self would be pretty psyched about.
That's an amazingly honest, I like that answer. That's an amazingly honest answer. It's like my younger self would probably give me a high five.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good success there.
Cool. Well, that's all I have for today. Dave, thank you again, man.
Yeah, thank you.
I really
Kendall.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's nice to be here.
If you guys are listening and are watching or whatever device that you're on, feel free to go ahead and you can look up My Parents' Basement on Facebook. And you could also find the website on www.myparentsbasementcbcb.com. Thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode. This is the first. You're the first guest.
I'm excited to be the first.
The first guest on the show. This is absolutely amazing. I'm so stoked. But thank you guys for listening. Feel free to go ahead and leave comments below. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. On the podcast, Creators Revival. And just remember, the light at the end of the tunnel may be you. See you again soon.